Accession number 21278, Reel 2.
December, Reel 2. So you stayed at Brillington sort of through until March 44. In C Squadron, Major Nairn was replaced by Major Nichols. I think Major Nichols had been in the desert, had he? Was he a desert?
No, I was in B Squadron, I was, so I didn't.
Right, you weren't aware of that. Okay. So you'd done quite a lot of endurance training and field conditions. Did you have any idea what you were going to be used for now?
We knew we were going to go in on the invasion.
Right.
We knew that.
How long ahead of it did you hear about the invasion?
I didn't hear about it, but I knew it was coming off. Nothing was broadcast, we knew it. That's what we were gearing up for.
Did you do any exercises with other regiments or other, the Americans or Canadians?
No, I didn't do anything with Americans or the Canadians.
Right. But you did manoeuvres, schemes with
schemes with different tank regiments,
Right, yeah. Did you notice any difference between your regiment and the other tank regiments in the way you did things? Exactly. Right.
No different.
Yeah. So, you were moved to Warburg Barracks in Aldershot, I think.
Yeah.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, I got photographs of them, yeah.
Really? What was it like there? Because Aldershot was quite
It's like the old cavalry barracks we stopped in.
Really? Yeah. What were they like?
All right, bloody big corridors, with everybody sleeping there. But we'd done all the waterproofing of the tanks ready for the invasion,
Right. How far ahead of the invasion did you do that?
Well, I don't know. When did we get there? We got there in March, did we?
We got there in March and left in June.
Well, we didn't do much training in Aldershot. It's just that waiting,
Right, so you had the feeling you were waiting.
Yeah,
you'd done your training. Yeah, and you were waiting.
Of course, you'd done your ordinary basic training, PT and different things like that, but...
Mm. Nothing new.
Waterproofing of the tanks was one of the things we had to do,
So that let you know you'd be going fairly soon then. Yeah. What did you feel about that?
Just one of these things, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. Did you feel apprehensive?
No, I didn't. No. Didn't bother me at all.
Take
day by day.
Right. So you were really quite keen to just... You enjoyed driving your tank, did you? Yeah. Right.
I happened to get a 24-hour pass from there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a chap by the name of John Parry, who lives in Caerphilly, was in the same regiment as me, but in HQ squadron. And we decided to come home. Of course, when we got to the Seven Tunnel Junction, the train stopped, didn't it? So instead of us getting back on time, we got back in the early hours of Monday morning. But we got away with it.
What were the officers? How aware of the officers were you at Aldershot there in the last few weeks?
No different,
Did you know their names at the time?
No, I didn't.
Did they
know
come round and talk to you, or you didn't have any contact?
Well, the only time they talked to you were on your own parade or something like that, never bother with them otherwise.
Yeah.
But if you had a crew commander that was an officer, of course, you were just like one of the lads.
Right.
No different at all.
So you didn't have any contact with the higher-ups?
No.
Did you get any sort of briefing before you left Aldershot about where you were going or what you were going to do?
Well, we went into a place down the south of England somewhere, and we were sealed off there for a couple of weeks, weren't we?
Right, probably Gosport.
That's where we went from, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't in Gosport, it was somewhere out in the country, but you weren't allowed to write letters, only for send field cards,
Really? You were there for how long?
I know. I was there for a while.
Right.
You weren't allowed out or nothing,
Right. And then you moved from there to Gosport.
Well, on the day of when the invasion happened, we moved from there to Gosport.
Yeah, right.
Packed in the streets there, waiting to go onto the tack landing crafts.
Really? Yeah. That must have been quite a sort of scene.
Yeah. Where you see the people there,
Did the townspeople come to wave you off, or the Navy people?
Well, we packed in the streets, and everybody knew what was going on, like, then, because the invasion had started, like, and when we went on board, I went on board a American tank landing craft.
So what was the, what was that like? Was it like you expected? Had you done any practice of?
We had done, no, I'd never been on a tank landing craft before, no.
Right.
But when we got on there, like, I can't remember how many tanks got on there, but I don't know whether it was 19 tanks or so many lorries, and so I can't remember now, but we were waterproof to go off in 6 foot of water, like.
Right. Had you practiced going into 6 foot of water before?
No, never practiced.
How far would that come up your Sherman tank?
Well, above the driver's compartment, because the exhaust thing was right up. And when we went onto this tank landing craft, and we sat set off, like, they wanted volunteers to do gun duty. So I went, I couldn't stand it down, and so I went and done a volunteer on gun duty upstairs, like.
Right.
But the food was American food, like, you know, and you had a big thing like that and all different. I couldn't get on with American food at all. But it's a good crossing, like. And
so when you were doing gun duty, was this using the guns on the tanks or?
No, just on the ship
on
side.
On the landing craft, yeah. Right. So and you were watching for?
Watching, oh, lovely, man. Yeah. Lovely day and all it was. But
was it? You set off in the morning, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Bit rough.
Do you know what day it was?
No, I can't remember.
Yeah, right.
I think so I had my birthday over in Normandy, which is June the 10th. I'm not sure.
Oh, right. So
I can't remember now.
Yeah, right. So, how did you feel going across?
Well, to a bit sick, like, you know, a bit seasick I was, but that's why I went upstairs to do this, because I felt a bit wheezy, like, because they're flat bottom, like, and but it was all right, like.
Yeah. Was anyone getting really worried going across? Cause
I don't think so.
You know, you must have been expected to take casualties.
Oh, I must have.
But you didn't think about that?
No, I didn't think about it. Too young then to think about things like that.
Had you written a letter to your parents before you left? Or?
No, I just, my wife then.
Oh, right.
I wasn't married,
you
but
met,
I was married then.
You
no,
married?
I wasn't married then. So
that's
sorry.
Right, but you'd met your wife.
Oh, I was caught in then, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. So and, you sent her a card and everything.
I always remember when she wanted to get married before I went, but I didn't want to get married because I knew the invasion was coming up. So what I did say to her was, on my first leave, after the invasion, we would get married. Right? And that was that, so we went away. Of course, I got wounded on August the 18th, and I came home.
So, as you're going across the channel, I mean, eventually you could see France.
I could see all the activity that was going on there, like, it was terrific. And I think they were in the process of putting Mallory Harbour up then. And we didn't go off in 6 foot of water anyway. We went off in about 2 foot.
So do you know where you landed?
No, I can't remember. I can't remember which beach you were on, I think.
Right.
Does it say there what beach you were on? No.
So you went across, as you came in, I mean, there was a barrage going on.
How
busy was the beach?
Oh, very, very hectic. They had MPs telling people to go everywhere, like, different ways, like, you know.
So were you first off the landing craft, or?
No, I don't think we were. Yeah. I think we were about fourth, something like that. Off.
Right. So you followed
on.
Yeah. So when you came off the beach, where did you go?
Well, we went into a harbour then, somewhere, into Liga, didn't we? We went on. We didn't move for a few days after that, because I don't think Montgomery wanted to move too far, because he wanted to build up all his supplies first, I think.
That's right, it's the 15th to the 17th that you went across the channel, one of those days. Yeah. So landing in France, I mean, you were now sleeping, what, in foxholes or underneath the tank, or what was it like that first night? I mean, you were on foreign soil, weren't you?
We leaguered up, like, you know, and had your rations. You had your rations, like, a few rations. And the food was pretty good, because you had the bread was really fresh bread we used to have in them days. Oh, it was good.
Proper French bread, yeah. It
was proper fresh bread, and they used to have what they call a pack, army pack, and I think it was for 14 men, designed for the infantry, right? But being as there was 5 men in a tank, we decided to have a pack anyway, because you could have a different pack every so often, like. Even though we had to go short of one man's rations, so it didn't make no difference. That's what we decided to do, like.
Right.
And the pack's rations were pretty good. Mm-hmm. Everything, all you had to do was just take the warm the bottom up and soup or beans or anything like that. It's with bacon. Oh, really good.
Yeah. Really good. So you sort of settled down.
Yeah, I settled
quite
down.
Quite easily.
We didn't move for a while after that.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know why, but I think they'd had trouble on some of the bridgeheads, and I think Montgomery was a very cunning chap. He always wanted to get his supplies there before he'd done anything, like.
Mm. So you felt quite confident about going into battle, as it were.
Yeah.
Quite laid back about it. So what sort of camouflage did you have? Any
camouflage net over the tank or so. Mm.
What did you put?
Well, you didn't really just put the... The net over and opposite, like.
Right, okay. So, you had to store a lot of equipment on the tank. What would you carry?
Well, we carry all our equipment, like, but all the food.
What? All your food.
Food and that, and ammunition and things like that, like. But
water.
Every night, see, if you, when we were in action, every night they used to come up and fill up the tanks with petrol and ammunition, give you food, everything, like, you know.
Right.
So. But when you were in Liga, of course, it was just hanging about, like.
Yeah. So you got cigarette rations as well.
Oh, I was the only one who smoked in our tank.
Really? The only one who smoked? Oh. You were right then, mate.
I had 50 fags, then.
Yeah.
53 issue. Yeah. And my girlfriend then used to send me woodbines. Yeah, I had plenty of cigarettes.
Yeah. Did you see any French civilians?
Yeah, seen plenty of them, yeah.
Right. How did you get on with them? Did you chat to them, or...?
Oh, I never bothered much for them.
Right.
Mm. I couldn't speak French, though. Mm. As luck happened, our crew commander could. So it was all right, like, he used to get all right with them. Yeah. He wanted a couple of eggs or different things, like.
Yeah. So he was quite good at sort of looking after his crew, as it were.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Mm. Was he older?
Yeah, he was a policeman in Glasgow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he got killed anyway. He got sniped.
Did he?
Yeah. He had his head out of the tank, and he got sniped, like.
Oh, right. Yeah. He was a bit older, so he looked up to him a bit, I expect, yeah.
Yeah, he was older than me, like.
Yeah. He'd be quite a tough chap if he was a policeman in Glasgow.
Bald-headed. He had his head shaved off and all.
Really?
Sad, really. Shame. I can't remember his name, to be honest with you, but when they used to go in, they used to, instead of closing the hatch and looking through the visors, they used to put them like that.
Oh, yeah.
Put them together like that, see, and then they could look
out the front, like, yeah.
And they could turn it, like, you know. Well, a sniper got him, like.
Oh, yeah. Where was that?
I can't remember exactly where it was, but...
Further on into the campaign.
Yeah,
right, okay. So you stayed at Cully for quite a while. Did you see any knocked out British or German tanks in the area where you were waiting?
Well, we didn't want to see them. What they used to do, they used to just expose the turrets, didn't they? They could knock our tanks out easy enough. We couldn't knock them out, like.
Right. So you were aware of that at the time, were you?
But what they did do, every troop had 4 tanks. The 4th tank had what they call a 17-pounder on, which could knock out the German tanks.
Right.
It could knock them out.
So that was a Sherman?
A Sherman tank, only with a 17-pounder.
Right.
That was a 4-man crew.
Right.
Right. Because the gun was so big and the ammunition, like, was different. But they used to have one to every troop. So if you met any tanks, you'd call them up, like.
Which troop were you in? You were in B squadron, but...
Troop. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
B troop, I think it was.
You were in B troop, yeah. So, you were never in the one with the 17 pounder?
No.
No, right. So were you a lead tank or a, did you have a fixed order of movement?
No, we all used to go off together, like, and right. You had your crew commander used to deal with all that, like. Yeah. All I used to do is, if I was driving, there was a co-driver and a driver, see, in the front. And we used to change over every so often, like. And all you do is listen to what he said on the intercom, and you could hear all the things happening, like. Mm. But
so how would he give you orders? Would he be giving you orders constantly, or?
Yeah, whatever. When you were moving, that was it, like. But when you were stationary, of course, it was only
nothing.
With a gunner, like.
Right. So how would he word his orders to you? Was there a fixed format?
Well, you say turn left, driver straight on, or whatever it was, like.
And you could hear what was going on with the other.
Oh, you could hear all the things was going on with your intercom, like. Mm.
So you had quite a good idea of what was going
what
on.
What was going on all the time, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So when you were waiting at, this was Cully, was it? Was there a lot of German shell fire or German planes or?
Well, it used to get, now and again, you used to have these rockets come over, you know. You know, they got on the back of a lorry or whatever they were, but they used to come over, like, morning minis, we used to call them, like. And we never had much damage done, like, or much casualties or that, but they were more or less after the infantry and things like that, like, you know.
So where did you see your first casualties?
Well, the sergeant was the first one.
Right, got which killed sergeant him. Was that?
Pardon?
Which sergeant was that?
Well, the old crew commander.
Right.
Our crew commander.
Your crew commander.
Ah, that's the first casualties I see.
Right. And where was
but we seen a lot of...
That was early on, was it?
Yeah, early on, yeah.
Which was your first engagement? Where did you first, go into action?
Kapiki aerodrome. Mm-hmm. Round Caen, round there, like.
Right, okay. What do you remember of Caen?
Well, I only seen Caen later on. When we went later on, when the Battle of Goodwood was on, I seen Caen. But before that, there was a place called Hill 112, which was a lot to do.
Right, tell me what
we were tied down a lot in Normandy, to be honest with you. Mm? You know. Mm.
Mm. So tell me about Hill 112 then.
Pardon?
Tell Hill 112.
Well, I got photographs of it. Yeah.
Right. Where were you on the?
Hill 112, the Germans were up there on Hill 112, but we were down in the valley, like, you know. Mm. And it was pretty rough, like.
Yeah. So what were you doing? You were firing up the hill?
Firing up there, yeah.
Mm. How far, could you fire accurately up the hill? I mean, were you getting...
Well, they used to go on to orders from the crew commander, like. Mm. The gunner used to... We didn't try to use too much ammunition, waste it anyway, because we only had to load it in the nights. So... Really speaking, you don't want to waste anything, like.
Were you getting fired on yourselves?
Well, it's hard to say. Where we, you know, when you're in a tank, you don't know where you're being fired at all. You don't know, like, you know. But sometimes you'd have a burst of machine gun fire, which could say that you've been. I don't know why they were trying to fire it. I saw they were trying to fire somebody else, but you could hear it like rain dropping. But we got blown up on a mine.
Did you? Where was that? At 112?
Further on now.
Oh, right.
Further on that way.
Yeah, yeah. So you were in B Squadron, weren't you? That's right, I'm just sorting out here. It's B Squadron and Recce Troop leading behind... Highland Light Infantry.
Highland Light Infantry.
Yeah. And 2A and SH, Argyll and Southern
Islands. Argyll and Southern Islands.
Did you see them? Do you remember them?
Oh, they used to ride on the back of the tanks.
Did they?
Yeah. Oh,
what, for a lift?
No, that's what they used to do. Ride on the back of the tanks, you got a platoon on there, about 13 men, something like that.
On your tank.
And you got to know them, you know, and whenever they dismounted and went out to the tail, anti-tanks. Guns or something like that. They used to go out and try and get them. And sometimes, you know, if 13 went out, probably only 10 come back or something like that, you know. It'd be something like, but and they could call a Sherman tanker once and later. They didn't, even though they had a rider, they didn't like being on there. Like,
why?
Well, you know, they just didn't like it, you know. They preferred to be on the ground.
Yeah. Very exposed, I think, on the outside of the ground. Tank.
Of course, you used to carry him so far, and he used to jump off like and disappear then for a while and do what they had to do and come back.
So you must have felt quite safe in comparison.
Well, the infantry blokes didn't think that. They wouldn't go inside them.
Really?
No.
Did you ever worry about, being burnt? I mean, that was the sort of nightmare. Much,
I was really speaking, you couldn't worry, could you, really? Because you were doing a job and that was it. Like, if your name was on it, that was it.
Right. How quickly could you have got out of the tank?
Well, there was an escape hatch at the bottom. And you can get out through the hatch, like. There's two hatches, so you've got your separate hatches, like. So he could get out pretty quick, like.
Yeah.
But it's all according what had happened, like.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were aware of that.
Yeah. If you got hit by a bazooka or something like that, well, normally they had a sniper covering it, you see. So if the crew bailed out, a sniper would have you, like, or a machine gun or something like that, see. I should have had a watch.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's where you saw your first casualties, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your reaction to them? I mean, did that
sort of
horrify you or surprise you, really?
It wasn't very pleasant, was it? Like, you know. Another thing, you know, you could see people getting killed, especially the Germans, and if you didn't advance straight away, say you went up there a bit later or the next day, you'd never see a body. And yet when you went into a French village or something like that, you see the Germans used to bury their dead in front gardens of the French houses. They put a cross on them and all.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they were. It's very eerie, like, you know, you could see people falling. And mind, if you went up straight away, of course they'd be there. But if you happened to stop or go back and up there the next day, you wouldn't see the bodies. Uh-huh. They'd be gone.
So they were quite scrupulous in coming out.
We had burial people at all, didn't we?
Yeah. Did you see them, our burial people? Was it pioneers?
Yeah, you see them now and again, picking people up, like. And first aid people, like the ambulance people.
Yeah. Mm. What did you think of them?
Very good, aren't they?
Yeah. Because they must have been in quite a lot of danger
Oh, they must have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with nothing to fight back with. At least you had a tank, didn't you? Right. So, I mean, some of the Churchills were knocked out, weren't they, on Operation Epsom?
Yeah.
I mean, had you ever been in Churchill in practice or?
I've driven a Churchill tank, yeah. But it was after the war.
Oh, right.
After the war, I drove it down.
Yeah, right. Were they talked of, at this time in June 44 as?
I think the first Fife and Forward had a Churchill tanks, didn't they? And they had flamethrowers, I think. But that's how I come to drive them after the war, because I went from the second Fife and Forward to the first Fife and Forward when the war finished.
Right.
And that's how I come to know what the Churchill like. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Were they talked of as better than the Shermans, or more advanced, or less advanced?
The gun was not much good on the Churchill tank. The Sherman tank was all right, like, but it was under gunned, like, you know. The gun wasn't powerful enough.
Right. I mean, flammability on the Sherman was in question, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Why was that? Was that because of where the petrol was, or?
I think of petrol on the side, wasn't it? On the size of the tanks, I think a petrol was.
Right.
I'm not sure. But they were designed especially for the invasion of Normandy, I think. Because there were so many of them, like. As soon as one got locked out, you'd have a replacement straight away. No bother at all, like.
Yeah. Right. So, on the 27th of June, there was a renewed attack on Shur with the Highland Light Infantry.
I think that must be the first Fife and Forward, you see.
No, this is the second, I think. It second, says, what it says here, I'll read you. A squadron and RHQ in the lead, B and C squadrons behind. The A squadrons clashed with Panthers of German counterattack from right, pushed on to high ground north of Greenville. I'll read it because it might prompt something. Claimed four Panthers, one or two Tigers, and SP and AT guns. Overnight lager southwest of Schur. Right, and then the 28th move across to Odon at Tourmoville with 23H, 3RT, and 44RT. Do you remember that?
I can't remember much about that. Okay. I can't remember the names, to be honest with you.
And then the 29th of June, period observing German movements. Yeah. Do you remember doing some observation on...
And what, sir?
Sorry? Do you remember doing some observation of German movements?
No.
No, right, okay. Right. B echelon moved up to Nory-en-Bessin and had casualties from shell fire. All tank units withdrawn at night back across Odon.
We got cut off there.
Right, how did that come about? Do you remember going
down? Well, we went down into a valley. I always remember going down a steep road into a village, and all of a sudden there's a lorry coming towards us, waving like they say were, and all of a sudden the gunner on the crew commander realised that they were Germans. So the gunner put a shell right into the lorry, and they just jumped out the Germans like that, like, you know. And then we ended up in a valley, and we were there all day long, and we just pegged down, and we couldn't move at all. All the tanks were in this bloody place, and we couldn't move at all.
Where were the Germans?
Up on a ridge, and they were firing and shelling us and everything, like, you know. And then in the night we went into Liga. Is that right? In the Liga.
Withdrawn at night back across Odon and Nory.
We leagued up there.
Right.
To get free supplies and that.
Yeah. So did they hit some of your tanks or?
Well, they never hit any of in B squadron. Well, they hit us, but they didn't knock them out, like, you know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. And then you stayed in Nory for a couple of days. Water and shell fire. That's right. And then you went to a reserve position at Colville.
I said we drew out then, and I can remember that because I had a washer.
So that was the first wash you'd had since you got to France.
Probably, yeah. Okay.
So you've been living in really quite sort of rough conditions been sleeping, eating and working.
Sleeping
and that was it.
But as I say, the five of you got on well together, so it's it was pretty good. Like,
were you the youngest in the crew, or were they?
Well, I think I was, yeah. Only a young boy then, 20.
Yeah. So you quite liked being with.
I liked it, yeah. You know.
You sort of gave me the impression that you didn't see much of your father after the war.
No,
so
I didn't. No.
You didn't get on with him too well.
No, I couldn't get on with him at all.
Right, but you got on with these other men.
Pardon?
You got on with these other men. So perhaps, do you think they were a bit father figures for you?
No, a bit family problems.
Yeah, right.
That's all it was.
Okay, yeah. Right, so Colville reserve position, and then moved forwards to support infantry south of Tourmoville and at Grainville. No, it's not manual. We move forward, yeah. Recce trip re-equipped with honey tanks and removal of turrets. Sorry, recce troop re-equipped with honey tanks and removal of turrets.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember that.
Right, okay. Then 15th of July, he's taken us through to Camille, cleaning tanks, 2 days.
The what tank?
Cleaning.
I think we stopped in by a monastery, I think.
Oh, yeah.
In the grounds of a monastery we stopped, and there's a big orchard there. Uh-huh. I always remember that, and no one on it, like a bee, come into the inside, got inside the tank. And we were cleaning out, like, you know, and there was bloody pandemonium there when this thing got in there. But we all had all new, had a good wash, bath, and well, showers, it was an end day.
Right, okay.
We were there for a couple of days, won't we?
Yeah. Cliff Pember, end of reel 2.